You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 18. Orchestra will let you come around. Thank you. Bus kids, I'm so thankful for you. The C bus division teenagers are up here. You're so faithful, and I appreciate you so very much. Well, remember, we're meeting in here. We have all these Sunday school rooms have refilled. The other property, the Spanish and the C bus ministry, is over there. We've started another church today and a chapel ministry in East Palo Alto. And God gave us, we've got about 100 prospects for that church. We'll get a report tonight. And then we started the church, we've taken over a church in Tracy, California. We've got about 10 people here and about 10 people here. Our college has a ministry of starting chapels all the way to San Francisco Airport, all the way to the Oakland Airport now. And my goal is about 50 of those chapels. We're going to need about 10 students per chapel. And so that's about 500 students. And then we've got the C bus ministry, and that takes a whole bunch of students, and the C teaching ministry. And then we have 15 rest homes today we'll be in, and that takes a crew of about 15 per rest home to sing and preach. And so God's doing such a great thing. Brother Jimmy Evans, good to have you and your family with us today. We're glad you're a graduate from Golden State. And the Harders, I'm just so honored you folks would all come and be part of our service. They got on a train in Rochester, I think, and they came across country. That sounds like a great trip. I hope you've had a good time with Susie and Brother Harder. God bless all of you. Every visitor, there's so many visitors. I shook hands with some of you. I talked to you. I'm so honored you're here on this Thanksgiving service. Well, we're in the book of Luke today. I want you to read with me, if you will, verses 1 through verse number 8. Let's remain seated. Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. Let's read together and stay together, pausing at the commas and periods and semicolons. Ready? Begin.
And he spake a parable unto them to this end.
So good to us. He gave us the incredible free gift of salvation.
Amen.
It's a free gift.
Amen.
All religions, I studied Confucius this week. It's all on works. Mohammedism, all on works. There's nothing good in these. They're almost all, and forgive me for saying this word in the pulpit, they're sexual sins that are included with their religions. But God gave us a free gift himself.
Amen.
You know, next to salvation, and of course, when I got saved, the Holy Spirit of God moved inside. Those are two special gifts.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
God gave me another gift. This morning as I speak, you know, sometimes I'm speaking on the family, it doesn't pertain to everybody. Sometimes I speak on this, it doesn't pertain to everybody, it seems like. But this message today pertains to every single person here. I'm ashamed to tell you, as your pastor for 50 years, I don't pray like I should pray. And none of you in this room pray like you should pray. God gave us an avenue at salvation that we can come boldly, boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find help in the time of need. God gave us access to Himself. I can go there any time of the day. I lose my car keys, and it seems like I do it so often these days, and I always try to bow my head and say, Lord, I don't know where I put those car keys. I'm trying to figure this thing out. But God showed that, and invariably, almost immediately, He shows me. I wish I could say that was that way of all prayers. You see, I've been hired by this church to do two things for you. I am to pray and to study the Word of God. We will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. That's my job. And I fail at my job so often. Oh yes, I have an extensive prayer journal, and it is, it's very long. I can't get through it in just an hour or so. I can't get through all my prayer requests. But through the week and through the day, I can get through them. And I do pray, and I walk with God, and I try to be what I should be. But Brother Swanson, it's so short. It's so short, Brother Panera, what I should be doing in prayer. I wonder if there's a room in heaven. I doubt it, but I wonder if there's a room in heaven. All the unanswered prayers because I didn't pray. And today I owe you a debt of gratitude. You've let me stay and to pastor you, but my prayer life is so short in what it could be. I read all these books on prayer, and I read of a man who that about 200 years ago would pray, and he'd pray for 6 hours a day, and he wore grooves where he would kneel at his bed and pray for his people. I do try to fast every week, and I fast, and I fast for America, and I fast for God's people. And I do pray, but it's so pathetic, my prayer life. I can go soul winning, I can witness to people, I can read my Bible, but prayer is announcing I can't do it. Prayer is, I've got to have your help. Prayer is a Greek word, ateo, it means to beg, to ask, to crave. God wants us to ask. God wants us to ask. He said, ask and he shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For whoso asketh, receiveth. And he that knocketh shall find. And the Bible says, and if you have children, if your son asketh a fish, will you give him a scorpion? Or if he asks bread, will you give him stones? If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children. Amen. How much more shall your Heavenly Father give to them that ask Him? God wants to give you what you need in life. Yes. Brother Swanson, help me if you will for a moment. I want to leave this here and show you my prayer life, because I have a good prayer life, but it's so short. I have a great library. I've built it over 55 years now. And I've never asked the church for a dime. I just build my library. And these books here that we have, I'm going to leave them right here. Thank you so very much. This is from one shelf. Can that go on top of that? Let's see if it'll go there. I've read all these books. Every one of these books, every single one deals with prayer. This is my prayer journals here, my prayer books, the purpose of prayer, God in prayer, the essentials of prayer, the power of prayer by Ian Bounds. I've read so many books on the power of prayer by Ian Bounds, and I feel like resigning the ministry when I read it. John Rice's prayer, experiencing God's presence, answers to prayer, essentials in prayer, history through prayer, possibilities of prayer, prevailing prayer. All these books deal with prayer. Yeah. I have no excuse. In Sudan, there's not a preacher in Sudan that has that many books on prayer. If he has one book on prayer, it'd be a miracle. In Ethiopia, nobody has as many books as I have on prayer. In Brazil, no preacher has as many books as I have on prayer. My problem with prayer is that it's not that I don't know I'm supposed to pray. I'm supposed to pray. These books tell me, Jack, pray. How's your prayer life today? Look at Luke 18:1. Man ought always to what? Man ought always to pray and not to faint. That's God's word. I was driving my car this week. I was gone for 20 minutes. I never turned the radio on. Now, I don't even know how to turn the radio on. Had that car for 4 or 5 years. I don't even know how to turn the radio on. You don't listen to the news, but I listen to KMVBC. And if I'm not listening to KMVBC, I'm thinking about something. I had about a 15, 20 minute couple of errands I had to run, and I ran those 15 or 20 minute errands, and I pulled up. I don't have a parking stall out here, but I don't need one, but I just pulled up where I was parked. And I got out of my car. I was rehearsing this message I'm preaching to you today. I said, Lord, I've been gone 15 or 20 minutes. And I never talked to you one time in 15 or 20 minutes. And I try to. I get in my car and I try to. I use that time to pray. I pray for my deacons. I pray for our missionaries. I pray for my staff. I pray for God's people. I pray for the people in our church that are dying or are sick with cancer. I pray for those that have MS and have insulin shots every day. I pray for the people that have been injured this week in our church. I pray for upcoming surgery. I pray for everything. But I got back from driving for 15 or 20 minutes. I said, Lord, I never even talked to you. That sounds like your life, doesn't it? How many times? And I'm not trying to be rude to you. I should be the best prayer warrior in this church. I'm the pastor. That's why I get a paycheck, because I'm supposed to be praying. I'm not faulting anyone here, but I know you don't pray enough. How many times in the late night hours, I'll get up and I'll go to a room and I say, I'm going to just pray for a while. I can't sleep, I might as well pray. How many times, Brother Evertson, I go to pray and I pray for a little season and I fall asleep in that chair? You know what I'm talking about.
Amen.
There's not a person here that hasn't fallen asleep on God. There's not a person here that does not need to sharpen their prayer life. God's word makes it very clear. Jeremiah 33:3, call upon me and I will show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not.
Yes.
When I come to God in prayer, I must come with a clean heart. Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Oh, how important it is that I walk with God. My Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, pray without ceasing, never stop. Just keep praying.
Amen.
I wonder right now if I could go around the room with the microphone and ask you, what is the greatest need that you're carrying right now? I guarantee it's a prayer need. I guarantee it's a marriage that's falling apart or a child that's away from God. I guarantee it. It's a son or a daughter backsliding away from God. I guarantee it today. I guarantee it's a job situation. But everybody here has something that's bigger than you, that you need to pray about. Prayer is a wonderful treasure. Prayer is a wonderful key. Look at the text. And he said, spake unto them a parable unto them, said, men ought always. Let's stop on that word always. Always means continually. Are you continually coming to God in prayer? I'm coming continually to God on that building on that corner. We cannot afford it. It's not for sale. I talked to the owner the other day. It's doing so well. They need a bigger place, but they can't afford a bigger place. And I need that building. Several years ago, I talked to him. He bought it the day our oldest daughter was married, Tiffany. She got married on February the 11th, 2000. So he's owned it for 25 years. And he said, no, Pastor, I'm not going to sell. I said, I've given my business to my son, and he's running it. He's older than I am, but he said, I'm here every day. But he said, you know, I know what he bought it for. He goes, it's got six parking stalls, I think. He said, if we started talking about it, my price would start at $5 million. I don't have $5 million. But I remember when this property wasn't available also. And I remember we put an offer for $4.5 million on this property. And he said, I'd like to give it to you, Pastor. He's a Christian, Ben Yates, but he said, I can't. I've got a $9.6 million offer on it. Right, they're going to tear down this building, SAE, Stanford Applied Engineering. They're going to tear it down, and they're going to put buildings, they're going to put houses here. You know, a year later, he called me and said, the city won't let them put houses. He said, I want to sell it to you. And you know the story. I've gone through it so many times. I said, okay, let's meet. We met. The media office now, it was a conference room. We met there. His attorneys were there. And he said, well, you offered $4.5 million. Now it's gone up in the last year. What can you offer now? I said, I'll offer you $3.5 million. He said, a year ago it was 4.5. I said, I know, this year it's 3.5. I won't bore you with the details. But he said, how much down payment can you put? And I guess 16 months from now, I'm starting a college. I can give you a dollar down payment. And the more his attorney would get upset, the more he said, that'd be okay. He said, who's going to finance this? I said, you're going to. Come on, Pastor. And the attorney got upset, and he said, I can do that. We paid $1 for this property for 16 months. $1. It's paid for now, praise God. I want to tell you something. You know how that took place? We tried to park here, and they wouldn't let us park here. Then they let us park here, but we had to hire a guard. He had to open up the chain. And then after a while, they gave us a key. Then they gave us the building, and we started using the building. We called it a soul-winning factory for the bus kids. And the bus kids were here. We were at the other property. And souls were getting saved. And I said, Ben, I want to put pulpits on the four corners of this property. Little pulpits. And I'm going to slip prayer requests underneath there. And I'm going to put plexiglass so it'll get wet in the rain. And I said, would you let us walk around? Oh, this is all weeds and thistles. And I get stickers in my, and all here they had a place called, they grow snails for escargot. And they dump them all on our property. You'd walk on those things, they'd just crack it. I can remember Brother Mark walking around this property. And our people began to walk. We called this property Jericho. And next door, Gilgal. And we gave all the cities, the names of the cities. And I remember walking around this property for years, praying, oh God, give us this.
Amen.
Our son, who's going to be preaching here Tuesday night, our son Tim, we'd ride our bikes over here on Sunday afternoon, and we'd ride our bikes. We just had it. He knew what was happening. We rode our bikes. They had a little parking lot out here, and in the parking lot, we stopped right in the middle. I said, you're up today, Tim. He said, our Father, we need this property. Please give it to us. He's a preacher of the gospel today in Arizona. God gave it to us, honey. God did that.
Yes.
And God did it through prayer.
Amen. Right.
We had Ben and Yates and his wife. They came by. They're in their upper 80s now. They came by about a year or two ago. And I said, I want to show you the property. And Joanna, she started weeping and said, Pastor, this property was created for this college and this church. And it's fulfilling the purpose that God intended to fulfill. Always, always. What is it that you got to always pray about? I'm praying about my son. My son, I'm always praying for him. I'm praying my son to come back to God. I'm praying for him constantly. I'm praying to be a good husband, a good father, a good person. Get back to church. Get back to the Bible. Are you praying and praying? Men might always, always, always. What are you always praying about? Say, nothing. I gave up. You can't give up. Never give up. Never give up. Never give up to your sorrows. Jesus will did. God says, God's word always. Look what the Bible says. Always. Ought men to always pray. Pray, I gave you the definitions. To crave is to desire, is to wish for, is to make a request, is seeking help. I tell you, we had three children. Tiffany's birthday is today. She's a pastor's wife in Southern California. Tim's coming to see us this week. His wife and five kids. Brother Fanera and his wife are such godly people. He'd been working with me 20 years here in the church, the school. We're so blessed. But every one of our kids and every one of our grandkids have great needs. Everyone does. Brother Manley, I can't make it throughout the day without begging God to meet their needs. Begging God to cause them to live for God and stay straight and on the good path of righteousness. Amen. And I pray for our children and our grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Pray for them that God would constantly have reign in their lives. What are you praying about? What is so important in your life that I've got to pray about this? My Bible says pray without ceasing. That's always praying, always praying, always being a living in a spirit. Men ought always to pray. And what's the last word? Not faint. That word faint is a very powerful word. The word faint means to become spiritless. Look up here and I'm almost done. You ever get spiritless? I'm ashamed to tell you. I get spiritless sometimes. We all get spiritless. God says, I don't want you to get spiritless. I don't want you to become fall in the trap of becoming weary. You know, I prayed for 31 years that God would give us this property. And 31 years later, God gave us this property. Amen. We've had it for 29 now. I said this recently, but I can remember praying. I wanted a 15-minute radio broadcast when I came here. Just beg God for it. I called these different stations and made calls, and it's just cost prohibitive, and there's no way I could get on any station. I prayed for a year and 5 years and 10 years and 15 years and 20 years and 25 and 30 and 31 years, just like this property. 31 years later, Brother Chris Morris, you know, God in one day without making a phone call, gave us over 100 stations. Most of them free. And he put us on the internet, and I was in the media room this week and looking at all, and now we have 24-hour day radio ministry, and I'm looking at all the different places, every hamlet in the United States, there's a dot there, there's a dot here, right now listening in KMBBC, everywhere. And then I look, I said, look at New Zealand's listening, and Australia's listening, and Moravia is listening, and Kenya's listening. And I go through all the countries of the world that listen. That took 31 years of prayer.
Amen.
Brother Leong, I got tired of praying. I got weary with praying, but I had to keep on praying. Because God always comes through.
That's right.
Ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask amiss that you may consume it upon your own lust. How's your prayer life? Dad, how are you going to raise kids without prayer? Mother, how are you going to raise kids without prayer? How are you going to keep your marriage together without prayer? How are you going to make the finish line and not faint? Brother Tully, we share so much in common in our lives. But I tell you, I've baptized over 20,000 people that are members of our church. But there are not 20,000 people here today. So many faint, they quit. They just quit on God. I've enjoyed the testimony. I've just been chosen randomly. I've been a member here 46 years. 45 years, 40 years, 35, 12, 15, 8, and you're still here. We're out of time, but I'd like you to go to 1 Kings, please, and I'll read something and we'll be done. 1 Kings chapter 8. The kings are all by all the double books, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. 1 Kings chapter 8. Solomon's the king, and they just finished building the temple, and they have the dedication of the temple and his house and all the years they've been building. And now he preaches a message, and he said, verse 28, "Yet thou hast respect to the prayer of thy servant, to his supplication, O Lord, my God, to hearken to the cry, to the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee night and day." Let's go, if you will, to verse number 33. "When thy people Israel is smitten down before the enemy because they have sinned against thee, and they shall turn again and see and confess thy name and pray. God, then hear from heaven. God, will you help us?" Verse 35, "When heaven is shut up," it's not raining, there's no rain, "because they have sinned against thee, if they pray toward this place and confess thy name." How about verse number 38? What prayer and supplication is made by man? How about verse 44? "If a people go out to battle their enemy, whithersoever thou shalt send them, and shall pray unto them." Verse 45, "Then hear from heaven their prayer." Verse 48 speaks about prayer. Verse 49, prayer. Verse 54 speaks about prayer. And God says, if you just pray, I want to tell you today, child of God, America is in deep trouble.
Right.
The largest city in America just elected a communist as their president, New York. We're flying right next door. Our property line shares the property line with the school. 3 years of age to sixth grade. They're flying for 3 months the gay flag out there, promoting these kids at 1 month. It's transgenderism's okay. For 30 days, you kids need to learn about trans, because some of you are trans. Three-year-olds. We're next month is LBGQ, whatever it is all. And we're just teaching you that you're maybe not a man. Maybe you're a girl in a man's body. And then there's 1 month for sodomy and lesbianism. That's about as vile as you can get when you start to go after the kids. And I would not be surprised if we're a year or election away from silencing this man pulpit, what I just said. Yeah. We're already silenced in Canada. Yeah. On our stations up there, if I mention sodomy, they take it off the air or they change it. It's illegal in Canada. We're in trouble in this country, and the only hope this country has is God Almighty. Not the malls, not the museums, not the sports arenas on Sunday, not the mountains, not the snow, not the skiing, none of that. No, that's not going to preserve a nation. This is serious time. We're going to have to get serious with God about America. We have to get serious with God about prayer, because we don't have things that God wants to give us. Father, I love these people. I love them so much. I'm going to dedicate myself right now to pray for them more. Lord, that's what they've hired me to do, to pray. Help all of us to take inventory of our prayer life.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.